Good morning, everyone. I hope you are well. For those of you who are joining with us for the first time this morning, I'm John McGimsey, a pastor here at Grace Church, and it's a privilege to have you joining with us this morning. I hope for those of you who are able, you are enjoying some of the new freedoms that you have in level two of this COVID lockdown situation. For Bex, the boys and I, we have used our new freedom to take Ari to meet the family in the south. So we are currently in Wyndham, where Ari is spending time with his extended family. It's such a privilege and a blessing to be able to do that for him. It's really lovely for them to be able to meet him and him to get some time with them. It's provided a lovely change of scenery for us as well for the last day or so, despite the fact that it is notably colder and darker down here. Today what we're going to be doing is continuing in a small, what will be three sermon series in a section of scripture in Philippians verses 1 to 11 of chapter 3, which we've titled Jesus, a gain worth losing everything for. Jesus, a gain worth losing everything for. Before we jump into Philippians chapter 3 verses 7 to 11, let's just bring ourselves before the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, we just pray that you would draw near to us this morning and remind us of the infinite gain that we have in Christ. Lord, we pray that you would help us to realize and recognize the true losses and the true reality of what it means to give our lives to serve Christ. But Lord, would you impress upon us again afresh the gain that we have in Christ? Would it be something that stimulates our heart to worship? Would it be something that pushes us out of our comfort zones in our homes, into our neighborhoods and into our communities with the good news of the gospel? Would it be something, Lord, that sustains us and keeps us and helps us? And Lord, would it be something that refreshes and revives our spirits this morning, we pray. Help us to worship in the knowledge that we have gained an infinitely beautiful and wonderful thing in Christ Jesus and the benefits we have in him before God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In choosing to follow Christ, people have suffered the loss of many things. Some have lost finances, others freedom. Some have lost respect, others have lost that role. Some have lost lifestyle, others their life. In following Christ, the losses are real. They are real. And that is why Jesus is constantly reminding people to count the cost. He's saying to people, if you want to be my disciple, you need to count the cost. First, if you want to follow me, if you want to be one of my people, if you want to come after me, you need to pick up your cross, count the cost, and follow me. In following Christ, we may be called to suffer the loss of many things. In fact, we are called to suffer the loss of many things, and it can really sting. It really, really hurts sometimes. And that is why Philippians 3, 8 through 11 is so important, because here Paul is simply reminding us that it's worth it. It is worth it. In choosing to follow Jesus, we certainly do suffer real losses, but what Paul contends for and what Paul shows us is that in doing so, we make a net gain, an infinite, incomparable gain in Christ, which pales in comparison to the losses that we suffer. Anything that we give as a loss, anything that we give over in order to follow Christ, is incomparable to the gain that we gain in Christ. And that is why Jesus is a gain worth losing everything for. In himself and the benefits we have in him, he is a gain worth losing everything for. In this text, this short little text, verses 8 through 11, what I want us to see is five gains that Paul mentions that we have in Christ. The person himself, the position of righteousness, the power of his resurrected life, the purposefulness in life, and the promise of the resurrection. Now, I want to split those over two sermons. So today I just want to look at the first two and next week the last three. So today what we'll be looking at is the gain of the person and the position that we have in Christ. The first gain that Paul talks about in the text is the person of Jesus Christ himself. We gain Jesus. It's worth noting immediately here that it's easy to work through this text, verses 8 to 11, like an orchard worker would, you know, picking all the fruit off the tree and at the same time forgetting the tree on which all of the fruit grows. We receive many benefits from being in Christ, but may we never forget that Jesus himself is the primary gain. Let's read from verse 8 through 10 and listen to the way Paul talks about knowing and gaining Jesus. Verse 8 through 10. He says, indeed, this is reiterating what he said in verse 7. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. We see here Paul say, or Paul articulate the fact that the main gain for him is Christ himself. It is the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And he says, in order that I may gain Christ. In verse 10 he says, that I may know him. Now of course for Paul, to know Christ meant more than just having a biographical familiarity or a familial connection. We see in the context that Paul is talking about what it means to be accepted by God. He's saying to know Christ is tied into being accepted by God, being accepted by God in his righteousness as a son, and all those beautiful benefits we have in Christ. We see this in the way Paul speaks of Jesus as Christ Jesus my Lord. Christ to him, and knowing Christ, he's knowing Christ as Savior and King. All these things are very important, yet at the same time, it is obvious to us, as Paul speaks of these things, that Jesus himself was the gain. In the gospel, the good news, there is far more than just a new set of statuses we gain in Jesus himself. Christianity is far more than religion for religion's sake. It is a relationship with our Savior King through the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave himself for his people and also gave himself to his people through the Holy Spirit. That is why Jesus is a gain worth losing everything for, because he gives himself to us as part of the good news. The first gain that Paul talks about is the person of Jesus Christ. The second gain that Paul talks about is the position we have in Christ. And here he is talking about the position of righteousness, having Christ's righteousness credited to our account. In Christ, our position before God is to be found in Christ's perfect righteousness. Paul reminds us that this gained righteousness is as a result of being found in Christ through faith. Let's again read from verse 8 through to the beginning of verse 9. He says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. And then he continues to unpack what that looks like. In order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. If you look carefully at these verses, and especially verse 9, what you see are four essential aspects of the righteousness that Paul claims to have in Christ. The first of those is that it is not his own. This is not his own righteousness that he stands before God with. It is not by being obedient to the law that he can stand confidently before God. The second thing he says is that this righteousness is his through faith. It is not through works. It is through faith in Christ alone. The third thing is that he has this righteousness as a result of being found in him. He is in Christ. Christ is his representative righteousness as he stands before God. He is united to Christ. He is in him. And it is his hope that as he stands before God, he will be found in Christ's righteousness. The fourth thing is that this righteousness is from God. It is a gift given to us from the God of righteousness himself and through Jesus Christ applied to us by the Holy Spirit. If you put all these together, what we see is that in Christ, we have been given from God a perfect righteousness in Christ that we have through faith. Paul knows that this is amazing. He knows that this is special and he knows that this is very real. And it's something that he realizes in the context of realizing that his righteousness that he achieved on his own wasn't enough to be known as righteous before God. And it's important again here to remember who's speaking, because this was a man who was known for his righteousness more than being just, you know, any Joe Bloggs do-gooder. This was the creme de la creme of zealous righteousness in a man. This was one of the most uncompromising, zealous, law-abiding men in all of history. If he was in the class of righteousness, he would have received the Ducks Prize. He was so righteous that he could say in verse 6, if you cast your eyes up, before the law he was blameless. What he's saying here is, you know, you can go and check. You can go and look. You can go and see my criminal record. You can see my browser history. You can ask my friends, my neighbors, my colleagues. And if you were to ask them, you know, is Paul a law-abiding man? They would have said, yes, he is blameless. But what Paul has come to see is that that wasn't enough to be right before God, because the quality of righteousness wasn't there. The perfect quality of righteousness that is required wasn't there. And that is something that he needs in order to stand before God and be declared righteous. Importantly and wonderfully, this realization for Paul didn't lead him to despair. It led him to Christ. It led him to see and to celebrate the fact that through faith he could be counted in Christ's perfect righteousness right before God. That is the thing that gave him joy, that gave him hope, that gave him freedom. This position before God, this position of righteousness before God, was an undeserved inheritance. It was not something that he had as a result of hard graft as though he deserved it. It was an undeserved inheritance. And that's what made it so special. And that's why Paul is so eager for us to see that it is through faith and in Christ that this righteousness is ours. It's interesting, isn't it, that in a team sport, we can be declared the winner without scoring a single point. We can be on a team, contribute absolutely nothing, yet can be declared the winner at the end when the team has accomplished the victory. We can do that without scoring a single point. In some ways, this is similar to the relationship we have with Jesus. We are members of Team Jesus for sure. We are members of Team Jesus through faith. The reality is, though, that as members of the team, we contribute zero righteousness points to the final tally. Yet through faith in him, we can be declared winners before God. We can be declared righteous before God when we are found in him. It is such a special reality that we are declared righteous in Christ through faith. A monumental gain, a gain that we have alone through faith in Christ. We've seen these two gains. First of all, the gain that is the person of Christ, a gain in itself that is worth losing everything for. The second thing we've seen is our position in Christ, again, a gain in itself worth losing everything for. And these are only the first of five gains that Paul notes here. There is the person, the position, the power, the purpose, and the promise. And in this, Paul is just again reiterating to us over and over and over again, Jesus is a gain worth losing everything for. This morning, I want to finish by applying this two ways this morning. The first way I want to apply it is by applying it to anyone who is counting the cost as they consider committing to follow Christ. And the first thing I want to reiterate is the genuine cost. I don't want to hide it. I don't want to pretend it doesn't exist. The cost exists. There are genuine losses in play as we commit to following Christ. We need, as we commit to following Christ, to have a willingness to count everything as loss in order to gain Christ. We need to be willing in life to see that there is nothing in this life that we wouldn't give up in order to pursue Christ, in order to believe in Christ, in order to repent, in order to know, in order to have faith, in order to be found in Him. Listen to Paul's example of how he puts this, because it's very important. In verse 7 to 8, he says, "But whatever gain I had," he's talking here about his religious status as a Jew and even his righteousness in the law. He says, "Whatever gain I had, I counted loss for the sake of Christ. I said, I don't want it if it means I can't have Christ. If I want Christ, it means I'm willing to give all those things away for the sake of Christ," for the sake of what he had later say, knowing Christ. But then he says, there's a progression from verse 7 to 8. He's talked about his religious status as a Jew. He's talked about his religious works as a worker of righteousness, as a person who is obedient to the law. There's a progression. He says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss." Everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things, everything and all things, and count them as rubbish. Rubbish is a moderate word, a moderate use of that word for what it's really saying. I count it as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Loss of everything. There is a genuine cost. Jesus reiterates this in the way that he spoke to those who sought to follow him, who wanted to be his disciples. In Matthew 16:24, he says, "If anyone would come after me," you know, you want to follow me, you want to be my disciple, you want to have faith in me. "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?" Jesus calls us to lose our life. Paul says, "I lost everything and all things." To follow Christ is a costly calling. And from experience, even in my own life, I can tell you that that is genuinely what it's like to follow Christ in this life. The second thing, though, that I want to remind you, and this is so important, is that it's worth it. It is worth it. As Paul, as Jesus, and even myself on a different level experientially would say, it is worth it. You make an incomparable, infinitely valuable net gain in Christ, both for today and for all eternity. You gain the person of Christ. You gain a position of righteousness before God. You gain this new power of the resurrected life. You gain purposefulness even in sharing the sufferings of Christ. And you gain the promise of resurrection. The gain is so much sweeter than the bitterest loss. Not only do we gain the fact that we are right before God, we gain a relationship with Him. We have the sweetness of communion with Him through Christ and the Holy Spirit. More than that, if you want to flip it onto the negative side, you will see that the fear of death and the fear of judgment and the fear of hell is gone, obliterated, taken away, made redundant in Christ Jesus. It is worth it. It is so worth it. So if you are standing on the edge wondering if you will commit to following Christ, if you will throw in your lot with Jesus Christ, remember, the cost is real, but the gain is worth it. We have everything, both now and for all eternity, in Christ Jesus. It is such a blessing. It is the surpassing value. The second thing, or the second way that I want to apply this morning, is to those of you who are fatiguing under the weight of your calling in Christ. The reality is that some days I fatigue under the weight of the calling and the cost of following Jesus Christ. To be clear, decisively clear, there is not a single day or a single moment or a single second that I have ever regretted my decision to follow Christ. But at the same time, I do find myself in seasons ground down under the weight of the ongoing cost of following Christ. To follow Christ is taxing on us physically, financially, emotionally, spiritually, and it's weighty. It is weighty and it is real. And sometimes the reality of our calling to obedience, to sanctification, and to mission concurrently can be exhausting and can be overwhelming. And in that situation, it can be easy to let our eyes drop and our eyes drift away from what we have gained in Christ. And if that is you, and I'm sure that some of you will find yourself in that position today or in that position another day, a different day that is not today, I just want to remind you again, take encouragement from the gain. Remember what you have in Christ. You have been given the person, you have been given the position, you have been given the power, you have been given the purpose, and you have been given the promise. We have everything in Christ that is gain, despite the fact that there is loss, that we lose things. One of those things, of course, being convenience and ease. We lose those things as we are called to follow Christ. The gains far outweigh the losses. I want to finish this morning by remembering the lyrics of the song that we have sung earlier. All I once held dear, built my life upon, all this world reveres and wars to own, all I once thought gain I have counted loss, spent and worthless now compared to this, knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. The gain is sweeter than the bitterest of losses. That is what we have in Christ. Let's just finish by praying this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you are a gain worth losing everything for. We thank you that we have the example of Paul, who was willing to lose everything for the sake of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you, as you fill us with your Holy Spirit, are helping us to appreciate what we have in Christ, and are calling us to forsake all things or be willing to give all things, even if we're not specifically called to reject all things, to follow you. Help us to have courage and hope and joy and to appreciate what we have in Christ. And would that be a sustaining thing, Lord God? Lord, I pray for all those who are on the edge of committing to Christ, who have wondered, is this for me? Would you help them have courage to follow you and to taste the sweetest gain at the expense of things that are trivial losses in reality. We ask that you would be with us, Lord God. Help us to worship and celebrate Christ. Help us to know what we have in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's finish this morning with the benediction from Jude. But before that, I'd just like to extend an invitation to you to the morning tea again. It is at 11:30, and you would have received the Zoom link through the latest email, and it would be a privilege to have you there. You know, it is an opportunity of fellowship in this time of distance, so be there if you can possibly make it. Let's finish with the benediction from the letter of Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, To the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. And together to that, wherever we are, across the city, all over the country, we can say Amen. It was a real pleasure to be with you again this morning. I look forward again to seeing you in the flesh. But for now, I'll say goodbye.